welcome to the season two of the Working While Homeschooling podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Joni, a homeschooling mom and an online English instructor. So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a homeschooling mom of four. I have four daughters. I live in Virginia. I've been married for 20 years, and my husband works from home. So, we're all home all the time, which is an interesting dynamic.
So, tell us about the professional side of you. What do you do?
Well, I wear many hats. I am a VIP kid teacher online, and I also tutor with Classical Conversations, and I also am a photographer. So I do exclusively homeschool families, schools, senior portraits, that kind of thing.
And tell us a little bit about your kind of the homeschooling side of you. Do you guys use a specific software or follow a specific curriculum?
We are with Classical Conversations. We've been with them since the beginning. When my 16-year-old was five, we started with Classical Conversations. She now does dual enrollment online and is no longer with Classical Conversations, but the rest of my children are.
And so with all of you guys all at home, all at the same time, how does that really work? I mean, what does a typical day look like for you guys?
Well, thankfully, my older children are more independent, so they're able to just kind of do their work on their own in their rooms. I mainly focus on my 8-year-old who still is learning how to read. She's reading, but we still are working on the phonics and different tasks. So for us, it's actually been very easy because they kind of work at their own pace. I'm kind of an unschooling classical mom. I don't recreate school at home. We kind of just get our tasks done and however long that takes. And it usually doesn't take very long. But the difficult thing is actually what to do with the rest of the day that there's not school.
And what does that look like for you guys?
Well, a lot of TV, sometimes going outside if the weather is okay, or going to the library or the park. It does afford us time to just go on field trips and to do other things that we enjoy, maybe like going to hiking, or we like to travel. We will travel to England a lot because my best friend lives there, so we have a place to stay and she feeds us.
So you mentioned that you were working with the VIP kids. How does that work for you? What is that like?
It has been wonderful. I just signed my 7th contract, which makes it my 3 full years I've finished. My husband also teaches for VIP kids, so we both teach in the morning. It's very nice to have something that we have in common that we do together. And we're fortunate because all that money goes into savings. It helps with paying for homeschool activities and curriculum, which, as you know, can be very expensive. But then anything above that, we end up being able to save. We're in a good position to be able that both of us can do it. So it makes our earnings even faster. But to have something in common that we do together has been really great.
And what are the pros and cons? I mean, there's several companies that do this now, the tutoring to kids in China. So kind of what are the pros and cons of working for one of those companies, or specifically VIP Kids?
Yeah, for VIP Kid, because that's the only one I've worked for, the hard thing is getting up early. Some people, if they need more hours, because they do need it to help with the family budget, they have to get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning if they're on the East Coast. It's even earlier if you're on the West Coast. However, they will not take any more teachers from California because of the independent contractor law. That's disappointing because I had several. I'm a high value referrer, so I think of 86 people I've referred now. The hardest thing for people is getting up, but I'm finished by the time my children wake up. It's great for me because it doesn't interfere with my day at all as far as my kids are concerned. And that has been the biggest blessing of it. So it's like a blessing and a curse. You have to get up early, but you get done before the kids are awake. There's kind of a trade-off there. Also, with VIP Kid and some of these other platforms, it's difficult sometimes to get booked. In fact, it took 5 weeks for me to get my first class booked after I was hired. And so it takes a bit of patience. But once I started getting booked, then I've been booked solid for the last 3 years. So I don't normally have a problem getting booked. But it's also, I feel like it's for what you do, it's the money is, the pay as well. It's good. Yes, I feel like it's been perfect for our family. It's been such a blessing to be able to work from home in this way and be paid a good salary and not have it interfere with my family.
And you're also, you mentioned also that you're doing some photography for like homeschool groups. I'm assuming that's like the school, you know, the annual photos or things like that.
Yes. So one of the things you give up being a homeschooler is having that annual school photo. And so it was my aim to bring the school photo back for the homeschooler, especially if you're involved in a co-op or for me specifically, Classical Conversations, that they would have an opportunity to have school pictures taken because they do change so much year to year. And we have a million snapshots on our phones. And I know that, you know, we have a we can see it in our million snapshots. But to have a professional photo done once a year is important to a lot of people, and they miss that. So it's been a good opportunity for me to find a niche in the homeschooling community to advertise and do my photography for. I also keep it very affordable. So my packages are $20, which is like half of what a public school package is. Even my family portraits, I try to keep very affordable because I know how it is being a single income earner, a family, and trying to homeschool and juggle everything. People will often give up things like photography because they simply can't afford it. So I stepped in and filled that need.
I will say our last co-op, actually, before we moved, they did that every year. And I kind of started to rely on that picture in October to be my Christmas card. And this year I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have anybody to take the pictures this year. How in the world am I going to do a Christmas card? But and yeah, it's like I had kind of forgotten how much I relied on that because they always came out good.
Yeah. So that was one of the points that I wanted to make, was that I really loved photography. I would always take pictures of nature and different things, but I couldn't make any money doing that. So my husband encouraged me. He said, why don't you see if you could start taking pictures of people? And even though I wasn't really interested in that in the beginning, when I started doing it, I've really, really loved it. Been doing it for almost 10 years. And so now I have a lot more experience and I have a better equipment. So I could charge a lot more, but I choose to not do that because I want it to be a service to the homeschool community. I want to serve the homeschool community, but I still need to make a little bit of money for my family. So I do what it's valued for me rather than what it's valued in the culture or in the industry.
Sure. Now, do you find there was a specific, I don't know, photography course or something like that, a software that you use a lot that if someone was thinking of doing this as well, that they should look into?
There's so many YouTube channels these days that can explain everything to you that you really don't even have to go out of the house to take a course like this. You can just look up things. But to be honest, just getting a camera out and practicing, practice on your kids, practice on, you know, your neighbor's kids, practice on different family members. I think that has been the most valuable thing. You just can't replace experience. It's my goal this year to really learn my camera because I'm sure I can even improve my photography if I could learn my camera a little better. So that's one of my bucket list goals this year, is to learn something new about my camera and a new photography technique.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you mentioned your husband is home during the day. Is he able to get involved in homeschooling?
I gave math over to him this year. I asked him if he would take math because I was constantly fighting my girls on math, and he's very just calm and unemotional. And so he's able to just, and he's good at math. So he could, because I would get frustrated too, because they're in algebra. I can do algebra, but it's not my strong point. Like, I'm good up to fifth grade.
Yeah, I was good up until about third grade. The second we hit fractions, I was done. Oh my goodness.
I've always been terrible at fractions. So he has been good. I said, can I take this off my plate? I'm not going to worry about math. It's going to be, you're going to have to stay on top of it. And so he said he would. So I'm like, okay, that helps me. So that's one area that he's been very helpful in. He also was helpful in helping my 8-year-old read, because she was a late reader and I would get frustrated. and emotional again. And so he was able to just sit with her and do the phonics and do the things that needed to be done. And so she's reading now. She's reading well. He's not able to go out of the house because he has to work. He has to be on the clock. So that's been the one discouraging thing, that he's home, but he's not really home. Like, we right. can't just take off and go somewhere.
When I was working one of my contracts, I had a schedule, like, you know, I had to clock in and clock out. So I had to sit there whether I had work or not. So I couldn't leave. That was always the frustrating part, because, you know, this person cancels their call. I should be able to get up and go to the grocery store, but no.
Yeah. Yep, you just have to wait.
Yes, exactly. What were some of the kind of biggest challenges to working and homeschooling that you've had to deal with, or that you've kind of, I don't know, overcome or you've solved or whatever?
I think the hardest thing is that now that my kids are older, my 15 and 16 year old, they're finding themselves very lonely. You know, I remember being public schooled and feeling very lonely. So I think it has more to do with the age rather than the school choice, basically.
Right.
I think you can be surrounded by people and feel very lonely. So that's been difficult. And so we've been looking for activities for them to get involved with.
Well, considering my oldest just hit 13, and it's just like, well, first of all, I don't think it ever ends, but I think it gets better in some things, but that part I do think kind of gets worse, to be honest.
I think it's the village mentality. Like, we are designed to be work together and have togetherness, and because of the way that our technology and our culture works, that we're all segregated into our individual homes, and we don't wash clothes together, or, you know,
right.
go grocery shopping together, or do these things that for thousands of years women always did together
in a village. This. Yes,
we
that
have this.
Part I absolutely do agree with.
I think we really miss that. So sometimes I'll call my girlfriend and I'll say, "Hey, do you want to go grocery shopping with me?" Because it's, you know, we can talk and chat while we're grocery shopping, and then it makes something mundane, you know, into like, "Hey, I've been saying, "Hey, thanks for washing clothes with me in the river," you know.
Yeah.
Because that's like the modern equivalent to it, going grocery shopping together.
Well, you start to make. We move quite often. We move every couple of years. So we hit this quite a bit. And when I was growing up, I lived in the exact same town till I was 18. So you built your friendships naturally because, well, you all go do the same things. And over time, over long periods of time, then you become close.
Right.
Except for the teen years. Because the teen years are just weird. And I can imagine being in the homeschool and not, let's say, growing up with the exact same kids in your class every single year and so on. So, like, you know, when it's not that, because, well, that's your family. But, you know, when you're not getting them from, because you have English with them every year since third grade, it's a different way of making friends.
Right. Well, we have that in our church. So even though
right.
we don't have that in school necessarily, there are some people that we've kind of been in co-op with for years and years and years since they were little. But now, like with church, in my church, it's a small church. We only have like 15 families, but we have a lot of kids. And we live in a farming community in Culpeper. And so a lot of the kids are farmers. They're outdoorsy and they like cars and they like things that my girls don't like. My girls like musicals and
right.
they like going out and going shopping and doing different things. So they're finding it hard to even find a niche with the kids that they've grown up with in church the whole...
It's the niche. That's really what it is because when they start to specialize in activities versus, well, I'll just go to anything because whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest's 13 and we just moved. So I'm like, oh, the teens are going to go bowling this week. You should just go and meet people. She's like, but I hate bowling. I'm like, well, you don't actually have to bowl. You just sit there and cheer other people along and, you know, eat the bad food and just have a good time.
Yeah.
And she just looked at me. She's like, but I hate bowling. Why would I go meet people who like to bowl?
Right. Yeah. It's connecting. My daughter said, there's something about having someone who doesn't have to love you.
Yes.
So, you know, someone who gets you outside of your family unit, you know, because my girls are 20 months apart, so they are very close. But, you know, they always say, but she's my sister. Like, she has to love me. I want somebody to love me. who doesn't have to love me. And I think that's the validation that they're looking for, is for someone else to kind of give them. I just know, I just keep saying it gets better. It does get better. You know, if they go to college, they'll have different experiences and meet new people. And if they get a job, they'll meet new people. And so it's not, well, it will get better.
You can tell them I was a musical theater nerd too. So I grew up in a really small town in Alabama. Like not even as big as a postage stamp. Well, as I would travel an hour each way, you know, four times a week just to have any semblance of theater, but it was children's theater.
This is what they do.
Mm-hmm. And I loved every minute of it, but we were doing like Oklahoma. We weren't doing like, well, whatever was modern at the time. And when I went off to college and majored in acting, and I went to NYU, and I went to school for that, and everyone in my class where I was like, oh, this is going to be my tribe, they actually ended up not being my tribe.
Right.
So it took me, even though I was amongst my peeps in a certain extent, it took me a lot longer to where I thought that was going to be, that was supposed to be it. And it just took me a lot longer to find my actual tribe. I think I found temporary tribes.
Yes,
along
I think
the way.
That's exactly how it goes, because I'm not friends with the same people now that I was friends with in my 20s.
Right.
And I have different friends. I have one friend that I've had since I got married. She got married and I got married at around the same time, and we've been friends. But she lives in England, and so there is a, you know, an ocean between us.
Right.
But I have had that friendship, and now that friendship is changing a little bit, and so it's been different. You know, it's just the way life is, and I just have to, you know.
Yeah, the dreaded socialization question, you know, when it comes to homeschool. I was just speaking to someone about this the other day. Honestly, I feel like I have to do probably more work than the kids in order for them to have friends.
Right. My daughter asked me just last week, do you think I could go to public school for a year? And I was taken aback by the question, you know, but the heart behind her question was I would be with people every day. Like right. I would see people all the time. And, you know, I had to remind her, it's not always nice. It's not, you know, like most of the time it's not nice. You know, you have to deal with people who are really mean and who are uncaring. Well, and
it's not like you can actually socialize when you're in class. So you
exactly.
get 2 minutes in between classes. That's not going to do you any good.
I know. And so she doesn't say it. She can't go to school because we took religious exemption. And so she actually couldn't do it even if she wanted to. But it's just about being patient and waiting for, you know, the next thing. You know, it's difficult at this stage because she's not old enough to work. So she can't even get a job. You know, we have a Chick-fil-A in our town. So they both want to work at Chick-fil-A, which I think would be great because I know the owner. And I know it's a good environment. So.
And they love homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm. And I've had two friends that have had marriages. Well, two friends, their kids have gotten Chick-fil-A, got married. They call it Chick-fil-love.
That's awesome. So do you have any particular, like, let's say life hacks in general, but things that you figured out that just make this all work better or easier for you that we can all steal from you?
Less is more.
Explain.
Okay. So I have friends that do something every single day of the week and they get burnt out because they're just never home. They don't homeschool. They're out schooling, which
right.
has its seasons. You could do, you know, a season of this, but I have some friends that do this all the time. I think that less is more, and that if they don't learn it this year, they'll learn it next year, because life is about learning. It's not about stuffing your head with information. In fact, I had a quote the other day that said, education is what we remember after schooling is done. Education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school. So
that's a great quote.
Yeah. So education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school. I really embrace that, as we're constantly learning. There's things I've learned homeschooling that I never learned in school. You know, that's one great thing about homeschooling, is you can reclaim your education. And there's things I care about now that I didn't care about when I was 15 or 16. So I didn't pay attention to those things. So we're constantly in a state of learning, and you're not going to learn everything. You just have to toe the line, you know, until they graduate. And then, I think adulthood is when the real learning begins, when you're finally open to find things more interesting. You know, I always tell new homeschooling families and even veterans that you know, if they don't learn it this year, they can learn it next year because they're right where they need to be and they will catch up.
Well, as we wrap up today, if you had one word of advice or encouragement, a tip out there for any potential working homeschooling parent, what would that be for you?
I would encourage people to find their passion and find a way to make money doing that. I started with photography because I really enjoyed it and I found a way to make money doing it. I did that for several years before I found VIP Kit. I have a 4-year degree and so I was able to do VIP Kit, but not everyone has a 4-year degree, so they're not able to do that, but they're perfectly capable of teaching because they obviously teach their own children or have some skill or knowledge. Now, I've heard about OutSchool. OutSchool is an online school and you do not have to have a degree. You just have to have something interesting to teach. So that would be, if you are passionate about something and you want to teach and make some money, I would encourage people to check out OutSchool. But for me, it was photography. So if you love to bake, there's ways to make money. If you love creative things, there's Etsy. There's so many different ways to, if you put forth a little bit of effort, you can make some money doing things that you love. And there's endless opportunities with the internet now.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for the links to my site, workingwhilehomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you're enjoying today's podcast, you too can support me with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I also appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to our podcast, and thank you to all of you who are sharing this with your homeschooling friends. If you know someone that you think is going to be a great guest on our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingwhilehomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening today. Thank you to Joni for being our guest. And make sure you're all joining us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.